EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We won't report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there. Same airplanes.
County dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Even though this podcast is free to listen to for anyone in the world, and always will be, it's not free for me to create. So if you enjoyed the show and would like to help support its future, please consider becoming a patron at www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles podcast, or you can find a link in the description. And on that note, a big thank you to Edward, Heidi, and Mia for signing up and becoming patrons this week. It is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show. Welcome to the show, Ray.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Now, you have had some very unusual experiences. Can you start with your earliest memories, please, sir?
My earliest memories is probably only a few months old, or I don't know exactly the age, but anyway, I can remember laying in my crib, and I can remember feeling helpless and having no strength. And my first emotion was boredom. I was looking at the ceiling. I got tired looking at the ceiling. And next thing you know, I'm drifting up to the ceiling. And next thing you know, I'm looking down. But I don't see my body laying in the crib. I see these smoke-like tendrils were sort of curling and twisting and out of every crack under the door, in the window seat, well, everywhere. And then I realized they were headed toward the crib. I didn't have any words in my head. I didn't know. Like I said, I felt boredom, and then I felt trapped. Then I felt delight. Then I felt terror. That's my four first emotions, the four first things I ever experienced in my life. Even then, even though I didn't have a vocabulary, I knew what I was seeing was filthy and awful, and just it all just radiated off to those images. These snake-like tendrils headed toward my crib, but just truly terrifying. And I guess because I was in such shock and so terrified and so traumatized by it, everything went white, and I dropped back in my body because here I am. So they didn't get me. At least I don't think they did. But anyway, that's my first memory, and I'm thinking that kind of opened up a door or tapped into something I wasn't supposed to tap into. So, because I've had following years, only up until a few years ago, I've had rather odd experiences and strange stuff happen. I mean, the next thing that happened, I got a twin sister. We were out in the backyard playing, and a storm came up, and the clouds got dark. And anyway, we ran out and ran to the house because we were afraid of a storm. And I wanted to see the storm, so I went to the back of the house where there's a back window, and I looked out the window. And like I said, the glass was flawed. Everything's all twisted out of shape. And that triggered something in my mind. And then a voice, a child's voice, started screaming, "Not now, not already." And I knew it was not my voice. And it was a child's voice. And so it's a flood of information that sort of washed over me, because I realized that it was some sort of a demonic creature or some kind of strange, dangerous, evil entity that had somehow was inside my mind talking. So I don't know how, but it left me. It shook free of it, and it left me a little bit shaken. But then it left, and it was gone. Just that I guess the realization that it was evil and dangerous, and somehow I'm not saying I pushed it out, But thank God it left me. I'm afraid it probably came back. It actually did come back with some form or another a few years later. But not all my experiences were horrific or terrifying or occultish or demonic. I mean, the next memory I had was my mother woke me up early in the morning. We lived in a farm. But I don't ever recall being woken up before dawn, before the sunrise, before it's light outside. And my bedroom was dark, but the living room was all lit up bright, you know, overhead lights and everything. And the first thing I noticed when I went running to the living room, that all the front windows were black, just, you know, pitch black. And the first thing that popped in my head, this is 1956, 1957, I was maybe 4 or 5 years old. And the first thing that popped in my head is, we're going home. We're living on a spaceship. There's space out there. We don't ship time, and we're going home. I mean, this is a little kid. I don't know. That doesn't make a lick of sense. Just the overwhelming sense of profound relief and joy. And then I realized that it was not space outside, but just dark outside. And whatever that was, whatever that memory was or experience or realization or whatever it was, just became a memory. It just became something that wasn't real. At least wasn't real in this time and in this world. But I had this overwhelming sense of being with my people and my kind, going home to my place. And from that point on, it sort of nagged at my mind and just made me feel like I don't belong here. This is not my world. I don't really want to be here. But on the other hand, I've made a wonderful life here. I have a wife and two beautiful kids and a beautiful grandchild. I'm happy here. But just still that thing nagging in the back of my mind that my people, my kind are somewhere else. It makes no sense. I'm not saying I knew this would be a fact. Just a strange, impossible feelings. And if I'd had these feelings when I was a teenager and had a 10 or 15 years of watching Star Trek and Star Wars and all this kind of stuff, I could say, well, that's just fantasy and escaping reality and having space adventures and all this kind of stuff. But no, I wasn't exposed to any of that. Because that even, and we had old black and white TV. We were poor, but we managed to get a black and white TV. And I guess there was some stuff on television, you know, in the driving movie where we had so much quiet. It might have something to do with space, but nothing like that. Nothing like that. Then, like I said, in that summer, I was standing in the living room in front of that old black and white TV set, watching a TV. I can't remember what I was watching. Another thing happened later on watching TV. Sometimes I wonder if a TV is some sort of a triggering agent or something. Anyway, an old newsreel popped up. It was old black and white of a nuclear bomb. And the bomb filled the screen, this big mushroom cloud. And I just looked at it, and I felt a smirk start across my face. My mother was in the next room washing dishes. And I turned my head away from my mother because I did not want her to see that smirk on my face. And I remember this thought, these words have haunted me ever since that. They think that's a bomb. Like I said, I was in my training pants. I was a little kid. And then that phrase popped in my head, they think that's a bomb. I mean, because it struck me as being backward and so primitive. And it struck me as being kind of cute and quaint. That, like I said, it makes no sense at all. I consider and postulate and speculate why I was thinking that. But I could spend a whole day and a half trying to figure out what it was. And I don't want to ramble. I just want to go down to the grocery list of weirdness that happened in my life. I'm not going to come to some big conclusion at the end because it's not dead yet. So I have not concluded yet. I mean, there may be yet more to come. I don't know. But anyway, I just remember thinking that they think that's a bomb and just showed me it's been so foolish and so unimportant or insignificant. And this day and age, we're, you know, people worry about nuclear war and stuff like that. I've never worried about nuclear war. And like I said, a few months later, me and my twin sister been doing typical kid stuff. It was wintertime. It was cold. It had old pot-bellied stove going on. It was all sorts of stuff. It was old wood stove. It was really hot near the stove, really cold away from the stove. Anyway, we would play sword fighting with each other. And my mother was there, and she got on to us and told us to stop playing. We're going to put our eye out, you know. That didn't happen. Anyway, she got frustrated. She snatched the sticks away from us, slung up in the stove door, threw the sticks in, and I looked into the fire, and my little wooden stick was burning, and I thought, oh, my sword. Then there was a shift. It's like I had a vision. Everything went different. Suddenly, I was an adult man standing on the side of a mountain looking out over this vast, barren plain, no trees, no grass, no topsoil, just sun-bleached rock, all the way to the horizon. And then I heard these pop-pop sounds all way off in the distance. Pop-pop. And I was like, what? I thought it was rifle shots. And I kept looking. And as I continued to look and peer deep into the distance, I could see like this wave of people, just this massive amount, almost like a tidal wave of people running toward me, toward the mountain. And I said, what are they running from? And I looked at the sky, and I realized I was not looking at the sky. It was an infinite wall of white fire. It was just coming behind them, just consuming everything in its path. And I tried to look over it, tried to look around it. There's no. And it was consuming everything. And then I realized the popping sounds was that wall of white fire touching these people that were in the back that couldn't keep up and were stumbling and falling. It would touch them and their bodies would explode. It was horrific. It was awful. And I looked around trying to find a way to help them or even get help myself. And I saw this opening behind me in the rock. And then I looked again. I saw some people coming up the mountain trying to get to the place of safety, a little like a passageway. And I knew that passageway was perfect safety, perfect escape. And I started screaming, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. And then I looked back toward the wall of white fire and all these people, and I peered into it. It was almost like a electric or like white noise, kind of, sort of, except it's like profoundly hot. But somehow I managed to look deep into it and force myself to stay, because I wanted to see if there was anything more, anything else, any way of escape. And somehow I managed to kind of not see through, but sense through it. And it's this vast, vast, profound, deep, deep emptiness, a total, perfect, pure void behind the wall of fire. It's like the whole entire universe was being consumed, ended. And it was terrifying on one hand, but then I had this overwhelming sense of this is how things are supposed to be. This is a kind of a great refreshment. Everything's supposed to be refreshed, kind of start over. That's what I got from it, even though it was terrifying. And I was kind of overwhelmed with emotion. And then all of a sudden, I was back, a little kid, standing in front of the heater, looking at the fire. And I recall looking at the flames of fire, thinking how they were like cool, harmless, like little blades of grass in the summer breeze. It struck me so harmless compared to that wall of white fire. And so when I didn't burn myself, that memory faded and that was over with. I didn't know what to make of it. But I remember some time later, I was in the backyard, walking out the back steps. And this is kind of what I talk about. I never told anybody this. It's really, I wrote it down, but writing something down on a piece of paper or a keyboard is not the same thing as saying it out loud. Anyway, there was this little pile of kindling we always used for the heater, because Mama always got up early in the morning and got the heater started. And there was a little hatchet beside it. I say little. I was the hatchet about as big as I was, really, because I was still a little kid, about 4 or 5 years old. And all of a sudden, just this urge to pick up the hatchet. And so I walked over and picked up the hatchet. And the minute I picked up the hatchet and held it in my hand, held it over my head, it felt like it was made out of paper, like I had no weight at all. And this overwhelming sense of joy and liberation and power and strength just filled my whole body and felt like I was Superman. But I didn't feel like I was myself either. So I guess that dark thing came back. And I happened to glance at a dead chicken in our yard. We lived on a farm, just pesticides and all kinds of stuff. And the chickens got into it every once in a while and they eat it and die. And I walked up to the dead chicken and looked off his legs. I mean, it was just pure delight, evil delight, but pure delight that I was able to just chop this chicken legs off of that hatchet with such profound ease. And when I did that, it's like an overcharge of power and joy. It just kind of like a short circuit on the inside. Anyway, it left. It couldn't stay there. For whatever reason, it left. And it dropped. The axe fell out of my little hand. I was weak. I was a little kid. The hatchet, big hunk of steel. It fell out of my hand, and I felt so relieved. It was gone. It was scary, and it's kind of stupefying. I didn't know the word for stupefying. That's how I was feeling. But it was gone. It was over with. And it's been... Was I possessed or something? Or did some part of me suddenly rise up and take over? I mean, I don't know. And it's like it was little snippets of this, that, and the other. I think it all seemed to happen in about the bulk of it. It's kind of bracketed in a year or 2 year period. Because I remember having an odd dream about it. It was Presley. I mean, it's like scattershot randomness. And there's little pictures of Elvis Presley floating off into space, and I felt so sad. And then years later, he died, and he was on his pictures, little pictures of Elvis, different versions of him, on these little stamps And I remember that dream I had when I was a kid about Elvis Presley. He was like popular back then and well known and I guess soon rich and famous, about to get famous and stuff. And why would I dream such a sad dream about him, about his, about something so dark and sad? I don't know. And I'd suddenly had his mind flashes. I mean, one time I had this, could see his vision of two people, I guess they were Romans. I'd never in white robes, walking down these steps. They never seemed to be lost in conversation. And the rain was pouring down, never being drenched. And it was just a momentary thing. And they didn't seem to notice that they were talking some strange language. I guess Latin, I suppose. I don't know. But, and it didn't went away. It went away. And another time, I had a mind flash where for a moment, I was standing in this attic. Well, not an attic, but it's like a second floor looking out over a yard. And it silhouetted Benjamin Franklin looking out the window. And it was like I was standing behind him. Again, all this stuff is, none of it makes any sense. So it's like jumping through time or something. But I'm still wondering if I'm time traveling in my head. Am I just plain crazy? I mean, I spent a lot of my childhood questioning whether or not I was sane or whether or not I was something else. And the implications are not good either way you go. But I had a lot of strange stuff happen that defies explanation. And I hear these stories about people being abducted and stuff. I don't have any of those. I don't have night terrors. I've had some very strange dreams. And most of my nightmares are rather entertaining and cinematic. I mean, sometimes rather sinister, but I don't have any dreams of grays entering my room. I remember being a typical little kid and climbing up on top of the furniture, trying to get to something. And all of a sudden, I had this mind flash of these creatures marching across the sky, arm in arm, arms locked together. I wonder if they were demons or I just called them the underground people that live behind the air. Because I was a little kid trying to come up with the vocabulary to describe these things. In any case, I just sort of watched them kind of, I could see them out of my eyes a little bit, but mostly I could see them in my mind, sense their presence and sense their emotion, and they're marching across the sky like soldiers or something. Strange. And I remember a Christmas morning, I woke up and every headlight was on. It was very bright and very, you know, Christmas morning. Opened up presents and I was looking down at the floor at a little toy my daddy got for me. I don't even know what the toy was. I was just enjoying Christmas, enjoying my little toy, because a typical little kid, 1 minute, then the next minute, I was face down in this cold, wet, sticky, black muck. Everything was black, no light, cold, wet, slimy, and sticky. And I had this overwhelming feeling that I was just surrounded by carnage and death. And I pulled my face out of the muck. And I felt this presence over my head. Something was there way up in the sky above me, kind of looking down. With the corner of my eye, I looked up, and it's like a bolt of red lightning that was frozen in the apex at the top of the sky. Frozen. It was then I realized that I was in a battlefield. I was surrounded by dead people. I wasn't dead, and I didn't want to die. So I just sucked my face back down into the muck and hoped that whatever it was that was over my head didn't see me and come and kill me too. And then all of a sudden, I was back in the living room again. Strange. I don't know how to put that in a box and label it, because it doesn't make any kind of sense. I mean, it was a very unusual childhood I had. I questioned my sanity and my humanity all during my childhood. But then another time, it was an afternoon. It was warm. I was watching, an old rerun of Lone Ranger, and the tires are going up. The William Tell Overture was playing. I mean, it's just a typical little afternoon for me. And all of a sudden, I felt this presence behind me, and it kind of gently turned me around toward the back door. And it's like I could almost feel his hands on my shoulders. Not quite, but like I was being maneuvered out of the house to the backyard, to the back porch. And I looked out, and all of a sudden, I wasn't standing on the back porch. I was standing on a pier, looking out over the ocean. And this late, I guess, the 16th, 17th century sailing ship was just plowing through the waves and the seagulls. And I was having a panoramic vision, and it was beautiful and it's gorgeous. But I had this feeling I was looking through time, looking in the past. I don't understand how that worked. I don't know. My dad used to talk about having memories of living growing up in the mountains. We live in North Carolina. North Carolina has mountains, but he was not born in the mountains. He was born in the Piedmont, North Carolina, on the coastal plain. My mom was kind of chiding for talking about growing up in the mountains. And he didn't grow up in the mountains. He wasn't born in the mountains. I wonder if he even went to the mountains. He was almost a grown man. But in any case, I wonder if I got something from right there from him. He goes, you started watching Twilight Zone back in the 60s, early 60s. And it always kind of scared me, because I could kind of identify with it a little more than I should. But it was really hard to put these things in for in any kind of thing that would fit in this world, in this life. And I remember back in some time past after that, after the accident with the chicken legs. And like I said, years later, I asked my mama, do you remember the time I cut the chicken legs off? I did it. And she said, oh, yeah, I remember that. And she didn't seem to be bothered by that. And that bothered me. And it still bothers me that I would have do such a thing with such ease and such joy. I don't understand how I did that. Something I don't want to think about. I put too much thought in anyway. In any case, the time passed. It was Christmas came and went, and we were sharecropper. Dad was a sharecropper, so we spent a lot of time in the fields. And we were little kids, and back in those days, the end of the rows is where the baby said, we just, as long as the mom and dad could see you at the end of the rows, you know, they weren't worried about you. So me and my little sister, my twin sister, although I kind of think of her as my little sister, even though she's a few minutes older than I am, but I still think of her because she's a rather fragile person. So I kind of think of her more my little sister than my twin sister. In any case, we were along together at the end of the path, and I happened to notice this pine stump sticking up at the end of the road between the edge of the woods and, you know, near the field. And it was all bristly with pine needles sticking straight up in the sky, and it was kind of nasty looking. And the wind picked up, and it started to move. I mean, this is stiff. This is the freshly cut pine needles. And it was not a hard wind or anything. But the pine needle just started vibrating, almost like a metronome or a tuning fork. And this struck me as really odd. Even as a little kid, I knew that pine needles sticking straight up shouldn't move like that. That struck me as odd. And I had this strange feeling that, just like in the battlefield, where just something was overhead looking down, something up in the sky, a presence or something. And I looked up, and way up in the sky, in the blue, was a cameo-shaped opening. And that didn't make any sense. I've seen purple clouds and white clouds and fluffy clouds. This is not a cloud. This is a well-defined cameo opening that was way up in the sky. And I looked down toward the pine needle thing, and I don't know whether my sister saw it or not. I'm not sure. Something happened later. Maybe I think she probably did. And I looked up again because I had this feeling that there was someone in that opening, that cameo. And I could see another sky behind this guy through that opening, like a portal, I guess you'd call it. And I looked up again, and there was this really regal, pure figure in robes and some sort of religious headdress. And it had, you've seen a Chinese dragon head. That's what it reminded me of. A long snout, lots of teeth, but human eyes that were very narrow, very intense. They were not looking at me, but I looked at it. I felt like I was looking at pure evil or looking at pure royalty or pure power. And I could literally feel my soul constrict inside my body, pull away from my flesh. It's like an oak leaf being cooked in a microwave, except without the heat, just shriveling. Don't know how, but I managed to break my gaze. Because all I could think is, if he looks down at me, I'm going to die. Even as I was thinking that, I felt like I was already dying. I felt like I was dying because it was like I was being exposed to something so profound and so pure, so overwhelming, I couldn't bear it. That I was something I wasn't specifically designed to be to deal with or to see. And I managed to break my gaze, and I struck off running, and my sister was running right beside me, and I was just screaming to the top of my lungs, killer alligator, killer alligator. I mean, a song popular on the radio at the time is See You Later, Alligator. So I guess that's where I got to. It's like a reptile idea or personality or entity. It was like I was looking at something that was reptilian or a dragon, but I didn't know the word for dragon. Yes, I kept trying to find the words. The best I could come up with, alligator and killer. Killer alligators. That's the two words that was just drumming through my mind and poured out of my screaming mouth. I was running across the field back to mom and daddy. I mean, I was actually terrified. And several months later, my uncle or somebody went to his door and bought some drain cleaner. You know, you ever heard of Red Devil drain cleaner? I don't know if you have that in England or not. Anyway, it's a popular brand here in America. It was back in the 50s anyway. And it's got a cartoon picture of a devil on it. And he was in a paper bag, and he pulled the can out. And me and my sister went absolutely hysterical. We started screaming and hollering, and the devil, the devil, the devil. And mom and dad had to comfort us and calm us down, because we were just absolutely beside ourselves with fear and terror. And it was just a silly cartoon trademark image of a cartoony devil. But it reminded me. It wasn't that I was scared of the image. It took me back to that time in the field with my sister. It's absolutely profound and terrifying. Thank God, not every paranormal experience I have is like, I don't think I could take much more of that, because that was pure and overwhelming, and it's like I was running away from death, and I was like, it was almost like it was already inside of me. So I feel. So in any case, I wonder if my spirit, my soul, my conscience shriveled and then reinflated with wrinkles. I wonder. I don't know how to explain it. But in any case, the next thing I remember as far as an odd experience was, I guess a few months later, Mom and Daddy went to town shopping. They left us at my great aunt and uncle's house. And we were cutting them, making a bunch of noise, me and typical silly kids. And anyway, Daddy wore a pool, but my daddy was a spender. My mama was the saver. That's how he is most merged. Anyway, he made a point to buy me a little toy. It was a little tin space gun. It was just a little sparkler inside. You pull the trigger and it messed with the sparks. You probably wouldn't send it to a child nowadays, but back in the 50s, that was a typical thing you buy for a kid. And he handed it to me. And I felt that smirk start slide across my face again. And I thought myself, this is not a ray gun. And all of a sudden, this thing flashed in my mind. It was like blueprints to some sort of a particle weapon or a beam weapon popped in my head. And then it faded away. And then I felt standing up like a little five-year-old kid feeling like a world-weary old man. So me and my mom used to call me her little old man. I was a kid growing up. But maybe she, now, like I said, some years later, when I was going through my first divorce and I was handling it so well, and apparently it surprised my mother because she come out and asked me, are you my son? Okay. I said, that's a good question. You ought to know you had me, but, you know, I think she tried to be facetious, but yet I was dealing with a very painful situation and way better than she thought I could. And I guess it was her way of letting me know she was surprised by me. I don't know. Anyway, that didn't really hurt. Just sort of said, well, that's a good question. I didn't tell her that. But I've never felt like I really belonged here or was supposed to be here. Like I remember one few years ago, I was a little bit older boy. I could maybe 7 or 8 years old. I was playing a little toy plastic truck in the kitchen. There were some weird little patterns on the thing. I don't know whether the patterns triggered something in my mind. But one minute I was rolling a little plastic truck over a kitchen floor, looking down at the kitchen at the thing. Now and then looking down at the truck. The next minute I was looking from like a bird's eye view, looking down from the sky onto a scene of spaceships and people loading spaceships. They're like 50s version of spaceships, silver, sleek, silver, vertical crap, which, you know, it's like right out of a comic book. I kind of see where that image would come from. That kind of makes sense. But these were not aliens. They were human beings. They were adults. They all had grim, sad looks on their faces. And they were all driving like forklifts and loading up the rocket ships, getting ready to blast off to some other place because they were forced to for some reason. And as they were getting ready to go, I started, this is my voice, my fear, my desire, wasn't a demon voice, is mine, saying, don't leave me, don't leave me, don't leave me. And then the image, the memory, whatever it was, faded, and I was back in the kitchen floor and feeling quite abandoned and having this deep yearning to want to go back and be with them. Again, that's totally nuts. I'm still like maybe 7 or 8 years old at the time. And I remember being in the backyard long by that same period. It was in summertime at a time, warm weather. I was outside in the backyard, and it was late in the day. The sun was setting, beautiful golden sunlight over the trees, over the fields. And that warm, beautiful sunset, golden light triggered a memory in my mind. And this memory of this wonderful, sweet, golden light started to fill my mind and felt like home. It, for whatever reason, it caught me that if I could just recreate that light and see it in my mind, if I could recreate it here on earth, here in this my backyard, I could go there. I mean, I know it's nuts. Even when I had an old swing set and a bunch of old boards, and I piled the boards against the edge of the swing set between me and the setting sun, trying to feel that a lot, just to recreate that quality of light. Later, I came and called it like an ambience chamber, trying to create that ambience, trying to create that, recreate that, what I was seeing in my mind, trying to recreate that in my backyard. As though if I could do that, I could go there. I could step through some bridge or something, which is, like I said, this is crazy behavior. I mean, I've often wondered, am I just a crazy person? Thing is, I'm 66 years old. I graduated high school, got a job, worked 8 years, and then left that job and got another job, worked there for 36 and a half years until I retired a few years ago. So if I'm a crazy person, I'm a functioning nutcase. That's for sure. Because my wife might tend to argue with that.
you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
In any case, I guess I was probably about 13 years old, and that's out in the French or playing up back in the early to mid-60s, and having this thing called a Super Bowl. I was able to bounce that thing around because it really bounced high. I'm just going to play with it, you know, it's a kid toy. And it was some clouds. It was a beautiful, warm summer day. It was no storms. There was no high wind. There was nothing going on, nothing that would create any kind of strange atmospheric conditions. But I happened to look up and saw the clouds were moving around in a vertical tube. Now they were wrapping around, you know, creating a vertical cylinder, moving slow and steady and in a very methodical, even elegant way. And I thought, well, it's not a tornado, but it was symmetrical. It wasn't a funnel. It was symmetrical. And the more I looked at it, I kept, that's not a tornado. It's not just some weird cloud formation. I know, now, just a little bit of research years later, no such a thing as tubular clouds. But this is always associated with a severe thunderstorm or your front coming through. It's very, with all kinds of temperature variations between hot and cold. This was not that. This was not a stormy day. There was no front coming through. It looked like, if I had to have to guess, had to come up with a scenario or whatever to try to identify it, it looked like an invisible cylinder craft rotating, catching up the clouds, and they would catch the clouds and they would wrap around and kind of dissipate, and catch another cloud, wrap around and dissipate. And that's how I was able to see the outline of the cylinder. And it was massive and huge. It was way up in the sky, directly over my house. As far as I knew, no one saw that but me. And I got to looking at it, and I was, you know, at first I wasn't afraid. Then it struck me and said, this is what it looks like it is. Then it's cloaked. If it's cloaked, it doesn't want to be seen. And here I am in the front yard looking up at it, letting it know I can see you. Then, like, if I can see it, then it can see me. Then I got very uncomfortable. And I went in the house, and I didn't tell anybody. And like I said, am I just seeing things again? Is that really just a tornado? Really just some strange weather phenomenon? I've seen very strange weather phenomena before. I've actually seen ball lightning up close and personal. But we were putting in tobacco, barn tobacco, and in the form, a thunderstorm came up, and we all went inside the house, and another pot-belly stove, and the storm was just ending. Huddled inside the house, keeping dry and safe. And this ball of electric light, all different colors, popped out of the stove and floated across the living room. It's a house full of people, and it just floated like about the size of a basketball. It was very electric and just sparkling. It was beautiful, really. I wouldn't want to touch it, but it was pretty to look at. But I wasn't afraid of it. I didn't get anything from it that made me feel like it was looking at something sinister or alien or anything. So anyway, and it drifted just, I guess, probably maybe a foot or so away from me. My uncle was propped against a chair, and there was an electrical outlet beneath the chair against the wall. And it swooped down and slammed into that, slammed into the wall and disappeared into the light faucet and knocked him out of his chair. But we all saw that, and then someone said, "That's ball lightning, man. That's ball lightning." I said, "Yeah." So I've seen ball lightning, and it's spectacular, and it's fun to look at. But it's not alien. It's not supernatural. It's spectacular, like I said, but maybe it's not totally explainable, but I didn't ever get the feeling I was watching, looking at something that's from another world or another dimension or anything. It's just a very wonderful natural phenomenon. It's just, you know, once in a lifetime thing, and I'm glad I saw it. Let it explode in my face, but I'm glad I saw it. So I have seen strange stuff that had a natural explanation or you know, that fitted in this world somewhat. But years later, when I was a grown man, I was driving down 301 north headed toward Rocky Mountain, because you don't know about it. Anyway, that's where I'm near home. I was on my way to work, and it was dark. There was no cars on the road but mine. I was driving a straight stick, and the 301 goes through fields and woods, and off to my right, there's a streak of woods. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw four white disc or balls of light. But it didn't gleam. It didn't illuminate the trees beneath it. It was just four white, I should say dull white, I should say, balls of light, like a little string of pearls, like a, you know. And out of the corner of my eye, I turned to look, and by the time I turned to look, the third one from the end dropped straight down, sort of disappeared in the darkness the way a coin might disappear in water, just sort of flickered out or fluttered out, and you didn't see it anymore. The remaining three balls of light continued in a sheep, in a horseshoe-shaped path across the field, away from the trees, over the highway, right in front of my car, and I was looking at almost eye level the whole time. They weren't zipping around, doing the usual typical UFO acrobatics. It's been very elegant, very smooth, very controlled, and to maintain that horseshoe track and see where they were going around behind me on the left-hand side of my car, headed south. So I sit them and slowed my car down, got slow. I never had a downshift, so I didn't get that slow. But the lights never illuminated the car. I didn't have any missing time. I didn't see any figures inside the balls. It was just three balls of light that continue on their track. They disappeared behind me and shrank out of sight. And so I guess this I've seen my first actual UFO. Not the first time I ever heard of UFOs. Actually, the first time I ever heard about any kind of alien craft was not an experience I had when I heard about it when I was about 6 or 7 years old. My cousin, I won't say his name, my cousin, his daddy, he was about 7 or 6 years old at the time. His daddy was in the Air Force. And there was a rumor floating around that some kind of strange craft was discovered on the beach. Alien craft or something didn't belong to this world was found on a beach. So, wow. Okay. Decades later, I was watching the episode of The X-Files. Guess what? There's a story about an alien spacecraft found on the Ivory Coast. That's what the whole episode was about. And I wonder if that had anything to do with that or just a strange coincidence. Not that I saw it, just something I heard about. And years later, this episode was on TV describing exactly what my cousin was talking about. And we were little kids. I guess I had a really strange childhood. But that's just kind of an aside. I wanted to kind of stick to what I saw with my own eyes and experienced my own self rather than just go on top of other people's experiences. I do feel sorry for these people that have abduction experiences because they sound really nightmarish. Some of my stuff is not nightmarish too, but I can't identify with them. I can feel sorry for them. And I'm not down their word at all because apparently it's a lot of weird stuff out there. It doesn't want to be known, but yet it wants to tease the snot out of us, apparently. In any case, some years later, I was an adult, married, and I was married to my second wife, the one I'm married to now. And I can full disclosure, my first wife cheated on me, really traumatized. I went to a psychotherapist, and I told him a lot of this stuff myself. But I didn't go to a psychotherapist because of that. I went because I told him all this stuff, and he just shrugged it off as a delusion. He just smiles. It's just delusion. And I told him about most of what I've told you. I told him about, and he just smiles. So that's just a delusion. So I said, okay, all right, okay. I just want to get my money's worth. I'm here spending these cuckoos of money to keep from going crazy from my ex-wife cheating on me. I'm going to get my money's worth. So he marked it off as delusional. But so I just want to go on record. I have been to a psychotherapist. So, you know, so I guess if I was crazy, he would have picked up on that short order. In any case, some years later, I was married to my wife, and I'm a Christian. I used to go on visitation. And anyway, I had a dream. It didn't feel like a dream at the time. I had a dream where it looked like I was looking down the big end of a telescope. And at the small end of the telescope was two masculine hands. And they were holding a small figure of Mary and Joseph, nativity figures, and another Joseph and Mary. And they were speckled with paint, all different colors, for a very specific image. And I could hear the man talking, but it's like I was listening to him whisper behind an oak door. Stand so far away, so I couldn't make out what he was saying. But dream struck me as being not feeling like a dream at all. It felt very, very odd, strange. But I kind of shrugged it off. Said, okay, some guy holding a figurine of Mother Joseph and Mary, all covered with, all speckled with paint. It doesn't mean anything. It's just out of context. I don't know what to make of that. About a week and a half later, I went knocking on doors. I knocked on this man's door, talked to him about Jesus, you know, usual Christian Great Commission thing. And anyway, he listened. He was very polite and respectful. And he asked me, did I believe in ghosts? I said, well, yeah, we're all ghosts inside of a body, you know. He said, well, when I was out in the woods one day, grieving my father who had died, I was sitting on a log, and I looked up and my father was sitting beside him, my dad was sitting beside him, and we had a conversation. We talked, and he told me everything was going to be all right, and not to worry, and not to be afraid for him or worry about him, because he was good. And then he vanished. I said, well, okay. Thank you, really loved your daddy. So I did. I'm glad you, if that brought you comfort and closure, I'm happy for you. I'm not going to argue or say anything disparaging about that. I said, but we're all ghosts. There's a lot we don't know and a lot we can't explain. And I try to be, because I had my own weirdness, my own stuff. I didn't want to bring that to his life. I couldn't make heads and tails of my own stuff. I didn't want to dip my stuff on him. But I did want to be compassionate and open toward his situation. And anyway, he said, and there's another thing I want to ask you about. He worked in construction, and they've taken junk out of houses and stuff. And anyway, he found these little figurines of old nativity Christmas decoration with the nativity scene. They're doing this crusher that's crushing up stuff so they could get rid of it easier. I guess compact it faster and easier. And this little figurine of Joseph and Mary had been thrown into the crusher. And they were all covered with paint. It was obviously been paint speckled on them because they were just thrown away and refuse, whatever. And a figure of Joseph and Mary went through the crusher without so much as a chip. And he put them out of his pocket, and lo and behold, what I saw in my dream was exactly what I was looking at that night at man's house in his living room. I said, wow. I didn't tell him. I didn't say anything. I didn't know what to say. Because for years, I kind of clung to the notion I was just a crazy person who managed to keep it hidden really well. And this kind of validated a lot of stuff, that whatever I'm seeing is not hallucinations. That if I was able to see a week and a half into the future and see something that specific, something it couldn't be a coincidence, it couldn't be a really good guess. It was that specific. I mean, a teeny tiny figure of Joseph and Mary, all covered with paint, that according to this man had went through a crusher without getting crushed, and went up in his hands, and I went up at his house that night. Just very strange. So like I said, it validated a lot of stuff. In any case, I didn't know what to make of that. I didn't want to, like I said, I didn't want to do my stuff on him. I was there to help him, not for him to help me. Maybe I should have talked about it. I don't know. Faced with stuff like that, and you have to make choices, and you have to decide what's the best thing to do. And I was also with my friend from church, and if I start bringing up all this supernatural stuff, I'm pretty sure I would get frowned on. And in fact, the pastor of my church I go to, before he became a pastor, he actively set out to contact demons and a ghost or go to green graveyards or holding seances and really was really after that stuff. But he says he never once have had any kind of paranormal experience in his life. He's heard about it, but even though he tried to make it happen when in his youth, before he, you know, became a pastor, he actually made numerous efforts to try to contact the spirit world and to have some kind of paranormal experience, and never had anything. Nothing happened to him. And he tried to make it happen. And all my stuff is just out of left field, spontaneous. I've never been to a seance, been to prayer meetings, but never a seance. Never, I don't own a Ouija board or crystal ball or anything like that. I do remember an incident my daddy experienced at a carnival one time when I was just a little kid. Didn't happen to me, but something happened to him. I'm not sure what. It was like a fortune teller at the carnival. And my daddy was like, he's always up for anything. He's dead now, but he was always up for anything. He was a young guy then. He's always very adventurous type. So he went into the fortune teller, you know, as a joke, as a lark, you know. So he had a couple of a dollar or two in his pocket, and he knew it was going to cost him something. He had enough. So he went in there with a kind of happy, joyful look on his face. But when he came out, you could see there was a disturbance in his face, and his features were concerned, and he didn't want. And my mom asked him, "What's the matter?" And he said, "I don't talk about it." And then, "Yeah, I don't want to talk about it." That's what it was. I don't know what happened. He never told us what it was that happened in that carnival fortune teller thing. He just went in the tent, stayed there for a few minutes, and then after a while, he came out with this really odd look in his face, and he never talked about it. I don't know what happened, but anyway, he died when he was 42 from Hodgkin disease. It was a slow, painful disease. It was cancer. So I've already outlived him and my grandfather. So in any case, I pretty much covered most of it. I got one more incident happen. Actually, two more incidents. I don't want to miss anything. I don't want to remember and trying to be succinct and not ramble and not get off on a rabbit trail. And anyway, I went to work at, I hate to say it, I mean, it was a tire plant in Wilson, North Carolina. I was on shift work, and I was scheduled to go into work that afternoon at 4:00. I was married to my first wife then, and we lived on her daddy's farm. And there's lots and lots of dirt paths and stuff. So anyway, I was out. I always liked to walk the dirt path an hour or so before I had to go into work. I could get work in 5 minutes. I would walk that dirt path, and one day, like I did 1,000 times before, walk that dirt path, and I happened to look over to my right, because I was headed south, and I saw what I thought was a balloon, a really dark balloon, just over the treetops, gliding in a perfect, straight, steady line, just over the treetops. There was a field between the dirt path I was on. There was a field, and beyond the field was a little streak of trees, a bit of woods, and this ball was gliding over the treetops. And I thought, well, that's a balloon. So I thought it was a balloon. It looked like a balloon. But it didn't wobble. Steady movement, gliding. And I thought, well, I've seen hot air balloons. I've seen a Goodyear blimp. I've seen, not only in TV, but in the sky. I've seen blimps off in the distance in the sky. So, wow, it's a UFO. Now I knew what I was saying. Even I said that, that's just a blimp. But it looks cool in the distance, though. But even that wobbles a little bit if you look at it long enough. Because it's a lot of an aircraft, so it's subject to every little breeze. It's going to move a little bit. But this thing didn't glide, didn't wobble, didn't drop or rise. It was like it was on a sliding on a string, sort of, but no string. I kept looking at it, and finally I said, "What the heck? I thought to it. I said, "Okay, if you're one of them, why don't you go land in the field and we'll sit down and have a talk?" I was just being cute to myself, being facetious. And the minute I thought that, it zipped up into a cloud and disappeared. The very instant I thought that and bought it, to land on the field, and we could just sit down and have a chit-chat. I can get a few answers. But whatever it was, it wasn't in a talking mood. Because it was this big cloud bank off in the distance, and it just zipped straight up and disappeared and sank into the cloud bank. The minute I thought that, like, okay, that could be a hallucination. Maybe I'm just dread going to work, and I was just kind of giving myself a little. Maybe my subconscious is trying to entertain me a little bit. Yeah, maybe. But actually, like with the other UFO, no one saw it but me. When I saw this four balls, and one sank, and then three went on their merry way. I went straight on to work, and I will talk about it if other people are talking about it. If no one's talking about it, I'm not going to talk about it either. No one was talking about it, so I didn't talk about it. The same with this balloon thing, whatever I was. If I get to work, other people were saying they saw a greenish-black, because I'm more looked at it like it's green or black. It was very, very deep green, almost to the black. I kept looking, trying to figure out what it was. And I wanted it to be a balloon, because that made more sense. But it wasn't acting like a balloon. It didn't behave like a balloon. So when I got to work, no one mentioned seeing a sphere going up into the sky. So I didn't bring it up either. You know, got to keep a job, and I don't be a nutcase that people point a finger at and say, "Doug is a crazy person." And I was wondering, maybe I've got some form of epilepsy or something. Maybe something's going on. Some had some odd brain chemistry problem where I have hallucinations or things. Like I said, when that guy pulled those figurines of Joseph and Mary out, this is something in the outside world that's touched something in my inside world and did the same thing. So, okay, I guess this is real. This thing's real. Maybe the rest of it is too. And the last thing happened to me that I saw happened right here where I'm living at. I was working here in Wilson. That's I live in Rocky Mountain. Anyway, I was on my way to work, backing out of the driveway. I'd done 1,000 times before, you know, for 30 years, backing out of, you know, the last 20 years, backing out of the same driveway. And looked to the left, looked to the right. Same old thing I've done 1,000,000 times before. And I looked down the road to the north, and hovering above the shoulder of the road, just beside of the highway, I guess, less than a quarter mile. I've had to hold out my fingers probably twice, about twice the length and about the same thickness of my finger, which looked like a streak of sunlight just kind of hovering above the ground. And the sun was just rising. I kept thinking, I guess the sun's shining off something, but there's nothing there for the sun to reflect off of. It's not any shiny silver pole sticking out of the ground, which would make sense. It's kind of what it looked like, but I kept looking at it and kept looking at it. And I had my cell phone on me, and I could have took a picture of it, but I didn't even think about using my camera. And I was on my way to work, and I said, here we go again. Come on, give me a break. I've got to go to work. I don't have time for this nonsense. I mean, this stuff has been nagging at me my whole life since I was a baby. Now, you know, here we go. It's been years since it happened. Here, something else has popped up. What am I supposed to do with this? But it was like a rift, or I kept looking at it, and I stopped in my driveway, and I had to go to work. I started to drive down, get a closer look, but I didn't. Maybe if I had, I'd have got some answers. Maybe I don't want any answers. I don't know, but I didn't. I just kept looking, and it didn't disappear. I just said, well, I guess it's some sort of electrical. Maybe some electrical wires in the ground. Maybe something electrical hopping up in the ground. Maybe it's some kind of weird. Maybe someone's stuck a silver pole up in his kitchen in sunlight, and then they come back later and took it back down. I don't know. But a few days later, I drove by that same spot. I didn't see anything where someone had something stuck in the ground. I didn't see anything in any disturbed ground or any kind of a structure or anything there that would be catched the light, make it look like that. Maybe think of a, maybe look like so much streaming, kind of streaming through the crack in a curtain, like an invisible curtain. You couldn't see the curtain, but you could see the sunlight. It's kind of streaming through, sort of. And I don't know what to make of that either. But that's the last thing I've seen, last experience I've had. I don't know if this is going to help anybody or not, but help somebody else out or someone else can listen to it and get some kind of perspective or some kind of answers.
You know, people have very strange experiences and have stories that can be very unique to themselves.
Yeah.
Are you able to put a label on any of this?
Like a speculation of what it might be. I wonder if maybe I'm doing a bit of time traveling in my mind or other realities or other dimensions of existence that I've somehow, things were carrying around between our ears on our shoulders. Probably the strangest thing in the universe is the human mind.
That's correct, yeah.
That's a kind of a reality unto itself. And I don't know if the electrochemical connections in our brain is something deeper than that we're all connected together. Oh, there was another thing I remembered I didn't bring up. When I was a child, this is momentary, but I had a moment when it was like a black curtain fell over my mind's eye. I couldn't see anything, but I could feel something. I could feel people. I could feel people all over the world. It's like I was having a global empathetic moment. Like I was on this other world. I could, every person in the world, they could touch me. I could touch them. I couldn't see. It was like a curtain. I couldn't see anything. But I felt like I was there. And when it ended, I really wanted to go there. I really wanted to be there. There has to be some aspect of heaven. Heaven be. Like I said, my experiences can seem to go from the horrific to the sublime. I don't know. And I don't know why. Listening to other people's experiences, and I really read a lot of people trying to find something that kind of correlates with mine. Haven't found it yet, not really. But maybe someone else could hear this podcast and say, oh, yeah, I lived that. I experienced that. I saw that. I felt that. And if they can, then they are welcome to contact me if they want to and talk about it. If I can help them, well, I know they can help me as far as that goes. So I don't know. But I'm not a psychotherapist, but I am an experiencer. That's what I just call myself an experiencer, whatever. And experience is the thing.
I really appreciate you coming on today, Ray.
Yeah, I hope y'all can do some good with this. And thank you for the opportunity to share it with others. I appreciate that, too.
And that's what it's all about.
Yes, sir, it is. And if it could do someone some good in this world, I'm ready to do it.
Well, guys, that's it for tonight. Hope you enjoyed the show. And if you did, give it a share. And we will be back next Friday. Stay safe and have a great weekend.